By re-engineering the genes of plants to enable them to withstand the herbicide glyphosate, which is Roundup, science has made it possible for one farmer to grow 1,000 acres of crops with no weeds. Having been a teenage herbicide myself, and having hoed down 1 million weeds under that hot Montana summer sun, I can personally tell you that this is a really big deal. How big? Farmers in the United States now use about 200 million pounds of glyphosate every year to grow crops without weeds. Which leads us to ask, is glyphosate safe to eat?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned into the 920th edition of the Food Chain right here on News Talk Radio. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends down there in Tepique who are tuned in as we stream along on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio with engineer Dave Michaels on the boards. Hello, Dave.
Glad to be here.
And producer Kelly. Are you here?
I'm here. Good morning,
all right,
Michael.
Good morning. Folks, I guess we can file this show under Michael Olson's third law of the food chain, which is cheap food isn't. I recently sat in on a Food Dialogues panel discussion titled The Straight Story on Biotech and Agriculture, the Media and Its Impact on Consumers. I, of course, was there to represent what media might have to say. This discussion, which took place in Chicago at the International Bio Convention in front of an audience of biotech people from biotech companies like Monsanto and DuPont, quickly became a tug of words between organic and conventional agriculture. One of my fellow panelists was Bob Goldberg, the brilliant PhD scientist from UCLA who was the author of the Argument Against California's Proposition 37 GMO Labeling Ballot Initiative. Needless to say, Dr. Bob had a lot of words with which to tug and was very good at tugging. Nevertheless, I was there to tell the biotechies about why some people are uncertain about their technologies and the foods those technologies produce, and so offered up something like the following. You biotech people have at your hands a powerful new technology that has the capacity to do very good and very bad. You have made it possible for one farmer to grow thousands of acres of food crops with no weeds or pests, and have therefore made their lives much better, and yourselves much wealthier. But what do consumers get but food saturated in herbicides and infused with pesticides? And some of those consumers are starting to ask, what's to eat? So those who manufacture the herbicide-resistant plants say that the herbicides are safe for people and mammals to eat. The herbicides go straight through us, they say. And they have the science to prove what they say, and who am I to doubt their science? But later, I ran across a peer-reviewed article in the journal Entropy that said, and I quote, glyphosate is the textbook example of exogenous semiotic entropy, and its consequences are most of the diseases and conditions associated with a Western diet, which include, get this, gastrointestinal disorders, obesity, diabetes, heart disease, depression, autism, infertility, cancer, and Alzheimer's disease. That entropy article leads me to ask today, is glyphosate safe to eat? And here to help us search for an answer, we have the authors of that article. We're going to start with Anthony Samsell, who is a retired scientist and noted inventor. Anthony, welcome to the food chain. Anthony?
Yes.
There you go. I gotcha. Welcome to the food chain.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, a retired scientist? That sounds like an impossible. I don't see scientists ever retiring. I always see them out in their garage inventing something.
Well, I'm constantly since I've retired from industry, I work on projects across the country, environmentally related projects with people that are affected from discharges by industrial polluters.
Oh, okay. So we always ask, who pays the way? So who pays your way, Anthony, as you're going about the country researching these things?
I pay my own way.
Okay.
I've retired. I made enough money. Now I'm giving back to society.
Well, good for you, then. Thank you very much for joining us today. Also with us, Stephanie Seneff. Stephanie is a senior research scientist at the MIT's Computer Science and Artificial Intelligence Laboratory. That's such a big job, I can't even say it, Stephanie. What do you do there?
Well, I'm a computer scientist, as you might expect in that lab, and I have worked many years in computer science. However, I do have an undergraduate degree in biology, and over the last about 5 or 6 years, I have returned to my roots. So I've recently been doing a huge amount of research in biology using computer science techniques to help me study both the literature and the data that's on the web to help me find the indicators of what's going on in biology today. I'm particularly addressing all the different diseases and conditions that we face increasingly in this society, things like asthma and autism and ADHD and food allergies. I mean, it's very clear that we're much sicker now than we were when I was a kid. And I'm, you know, no longer a child.
Yeah.
So anyway, so I have been working on that, and I have been specifically looking at all of the environmental toxins that we're exposed to and addressing them one by one and trying to understand, could this one be a key contributor to these problems?
And you came across glyphosate, and now you label it as what the heck are you calling it, exogenous semiotic entropy? What on earth is that?
This is a term that's been coined by Entropy, the journal. So it's a rather novel term, and it reflects the fact that environmental agents disrupt biology, basically. I mean, entropy is disorder, and it's a term that's used in physics. Anthony, you might want to chime in on this, too, because I know you... would you like to say
Anthony,
something about it?
Anthony, where did you guys come up with this interesting title for your notion here?
The title denotes that exogenous or chemicals that we are exposed to in our environment, whether we breathe them, put them on our skin, ingest them, whatever, that these chemicals disrupt homeostasis. When that happens, there's a cause and effect relationship. In this case, the chemical glyphosate disturbs and disrupts bacteria, of which on and within us we have over 100 trillion bacteria representing over 1,000 species. And what glyphosate does is it disrupts and destroys, kills off beneficial bacteria, allowing the overgrowth of pathogenic bacteria. Additionally, it disrupts enzymes that are important to our detox system. The CYP450 enzyme class is just a few of the enzymes that glyphosate disrupts. Now, this I had discovered in my research. I've been studying glyphosate for about 3 years.
Wait, just a second. Why did you start studying glyphosate? I mean, industry says there's nothing wrong with it. What made you say, well, just a minute here, I have to look at this?
Well, I've used glyphosate. I'm also, I've invested in agriculture over the years. I've owned several farms funded by the U.S. Department of Agriculture here in the Northeast. I've been a grower, and sad to say, I used glyphosate in my operations. Myself, I eat organically. I've never used chemicals or pesticides on my garden for my family. However, when I was growing commercially, I used glyphosate extensively and have used it since the 1970s, since about 1976.
As a commercial grower, you have to think, hey, this is great stuff, right? I mean, I don't have to go out there and hoe weeds. This is wonderful.
Well, that's what they make cultivators for tractors for. if you didn't have herbicides, you'd be using your tractor and a set of cultivators to disturb the weeds in the rows so that the plants would thrive and flourish. And then, of course, you'd have people like you probably did when you were in high school or college. We went through the fields pulling weeds.
There you go. So we're going to have to take a quick break, but when we come back, I would like to tell you to tell us what was it. What you're out standing in the field one day, watching all the weeds dying, and you thinking, this is magic. But what's going on really? What is it? The one incident that caused Anthony and Stephanie to say, let's take a look at this, folks. This is the Food Chain Radio Program. Today we're taking a look at glyphosate, 200 million pounds of it dumped on America every year so that we can grow crops without foods. Is it safe to eat? What do you think? 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Right back.
Get this. You can earn a 5-, 6-, or 7-figure income by farming a small parcel of land in or near the city. You can be old or young, rich or poor, married or single. You can rent, lease, or own. You can farm small fruits on prairie bench lands, houseplants in coastal valleys, flowers on steep wooded hillsides, vegetables in city green belts, ornamentals in neighborhoods of million-dollar homes. There's only one catch. You must compete with other farmers for the consumer dollars. You can compete with others and win the consumer dollars with the help of MetroFarm, the guide to growing for profit in or near the city. MetroFarm is the Ben Franklin Book of the Year Award winner that will guide you step by step through the planning and development of your very own income-generating metropolitan farm. Abraham Lincoln said the greatest fine art of the future will be the making of a comfortable living on a small parcel of land. Get in on the future today. Get a copy of MetroFarm at www.metrofarm.com.
Welcome back. This is the Food Chain Radio Program. Today we're talking about the food we eat, as we often do, and how that food is grown and produced. And one of the magic new tools of modern times is the herbicide glyphosate. Magic stuff, also called, travels under the trade name Roundup. It's the stuff you spray on the weeds that grow in the cracks of your sidewalk and whatnot. You get rid of them. They just die. They go away. Farmers now use 200 million pounds of this stuff on our to grow our food without weeds. And so today we're kind of asking, is this stuff safe to eat? Well, our guest today, we have Anthony. We have a guest who wrote this incredible article in Entropy magazine saying, no, it's not okay. The guests are Anthony Samsel and Stephanie Seneff. Anthony, we were talking a little bit about how you were, what was it that one moment that led you to say, I have to look at this?
So the one moment was I had a deer problem on some of my fields. The deer were coming in. In eating, and I was using urine from wolves and coyotes to try to keep them from coming onto the field and eating the crops. And I ran out of that urine, and I knew that the scent of humans also deters animals like deer. So what did I do? I peed in a bottle, put it in a sprayer, and started spraying my urine around the field. Well, a couple of days later, I went to check out where the deer were coming in. I noticed that all the weeds were drooped over and dying. And I said, my goodness, my urine is killing weeds. Well, then I did some experiments in the greenhouse. I came to the realization that the glyphosate that I was using was in my system. And I love to eat corn chips. And glyphosate is in the food supply. It's in corn chips. It's in wheat. It's in soy. My urine was an herbicide. Well, guess what? Today, my urine does not kill weeds. My urine makes the grass grow green.
Stephanie Seneff, I bet you can't come up with a story like that.
I don't have a story like that, but I have a pretty good story myself. I have been determined to figure out what's causing the autism epidemic in this country. And I'm very concerned because, as you know, the rate of autism has been accelerating steadily over the last 30 years, and especially over the last 5 years.
Stephanie, can you hold this the autism story for just a few minutes? Because there's something I'd like to get at and before we get there. And that is the industry says that this herbicide glyphosate is safe, that it just goes through our bodies, and just like you discovered. It goes into our urine, and we can use our urine to go out and kill weeds, I guess. That's what they're saying. And that, therefore, it doesn't harm us at all. Go ahead.
Well, I think I can answer that. Less than 2% of glyphosate is metabolized in the human body. And the glyphosate remains circulating inside your body until it's filtered through the liver and kidneys, where it does destruction and damage prior to you peeing it out. I'm in touch with Monica Kruger in Germany, and we're comparing notes. Monica has been studying five cities in Germany. In Germany, genetically engineered foods are really not grown there. Their supply of glyphosate in their food comes in through grain that they use to feed chicken and farm animals. Those residues of glyphosate are showing up in the population. She has found in men, women, and children, in their urine, she has found glyphosate contamination, residues in their urine. We are in the process of duplicating those experiments here in the United States, as well as other experiments. I can tell you that glyphosate is pervasive in the U.S. food supply.
Okay.
I can tell you about the U.S. Department of Agriculture and my communications with my U.S. Senator Gene Shaheen that spawned this whole thing. If you'd like me to do that now.
No, let me back up one step further. How is it that this pesticide, this herbicide glyphosate, can kill a plant and not harm a person or a mammal?
It does both. It kills plants because it disrupts the shikimate pathway, a pathway that animals and humans don't have, but plants do. That shikimate pathway allows glyphosate to disrupt the biochemistry of the plant, and the plant suffers collapse and dies. Well, when Monsanto registered the herbicide back in the mid-70s, they also registered the herbicide as a biocide. It kills bacteria, and bacteria also have the shikimate pathway. Uh-huh. Now, the essential beneficial bacteria make cyclical amino acids. The amino acids phenylalanine, tyrosine, and tryptophan, which our bodies do not make. We have to either get from food or mainly from beneficial bacteria that inhabit us. And when you kill those bacteria, you come up with a shortage of phenylalanine, tyrosine, and tryptophan. And as a result of those shortages, there's a plethora of diseases that can ensue. Additionally, glyphosate disrupts methionine, which is one of our sulfur amino acids. And when you disrupt sulfur, we can't sulfate and we can't get rid of toxins. And, of course, Stephanie can speak to that because this is one of her pet projects.
Okay, good enough. We're almost to Stephanie, but one more question. One of the things that just stopped me dead in my tracks when I read your entropy article was the whole notion of what happens when we feed feedlot animals high concentrations of crops grown with high concentrations of glyphosate. Now, one of the big problems we're having in agriculture right now is this deadly new E. coli, 0157H7, that seems to be produced in the stomachs of ruminants of cattle. And excreted into the environment, and I'm just wondering about the relationship between glyphosate in animal feeds and this new E. coli 0157H7. Has anybody ever thought about that?
You've seen nothing yet. Glyphosate not only causes genetic changes in plants, causing resistant weeds, but it also causes genetic changes in bacteria and resistant bacteria. It's those bacteria that flourish in the soil and flourish in your gut and colon that cause irritable bowel syndrome, that cause gut dysbiosis, and a host of other things. As far as glyphosate in feed, the organization PETA, if they knew the levels of glyphosate that are fed to farm animals, they would be all over them like a cheap suit. Anywhere from 100 to 400 parts per million of glyphosate are in animal feed fed to pigs, beef cattle, dairy animals. It's horrible.
And it's your thesis, as I understand it, that whereas glyphosate goes right straight through us, it does not go right straight through the bacteria that inhabit us, nor our animals.
It assassinates the bacteria, and it doesn't go straight through us. It
circulates.
It circulates and eventually passes in the urine. But, I mean, if you're eating the standard American diet, the Western diet of corn, soy, wheat, all of these things contain residues of glyphosate in levels that can cause harm. Harm has been found from glyphosate in levels of 0.01 parts per million. Glyphosate can cause devastation in levels even lower, subliminal levels. We're not talking about lavaging lab rats or mice to see how much chemical it takes to kill them. The field of toxicology is changing and has to change.
Okay, just a sec. We're going to have to take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to go to Stephanie and autism. Are you kidding me? Right back. This is The Food Chain. Well, get ready for this, ladies and gentlemen. It's called exogenous semiotic entropy. And it's just really the notion that the 200 million pounds of glyphosate herbicide that we use to grow our crops every year without weeds does not just go through our body. It goes into our body and it starts circulating around, and it has an impact, not maybe so much on us, but it does have an impact on the bacteria, the microorganisms that inhabit our bodies and our soil and the world around us. What impact does it have on those little critters, Stephanie?
Yes, you caught me off guard. I was all ready to talk about autism.
Well, we're going there. You're going to take us there.
Okay,
here.
Well, I will tell you about the E. coli because there's a little bit more to say about them.
Okay.
E. coli, studies have been done that have shown that glyphosate greatly stresses E. coli and forces them into an anaerobic metabolism mode, working without oxygen. They cannot metabolize food using oxygen, which is the normal way they would work. So this is great stress, which is going to cause them to mutate, and I suspect that's what's going on with these E. coli problems that you're seeing in the cattle.
Wow. So that there might be a relationship there. Nobody's really talked about it yet, but there possibly could be, because this stuff just kind of started showing up, this E. coli 015787, and people are scratching their head, and then they're starting to look at the feedlots and say it's them cows in there. But it's not really the cows. It's the feed that we're giving to the cows. So...
What I would like to do is to tell you how I've never quite answered the question of how I came to glyphosate.
Okay, let's do it. We're going to talk about autism now. Go right ahead.
Right, autism and, in fact, many other problems that we face, like obesity and Alzheimer's disease, heart disease and diabetes, and, of course, the gut problems, all the disruptive gut problems. We see colitis, the inflammatory bowel disease and acid reflux, all these problems that we see with the gut. It turns out that autism is associated with gut problems. Many of the autistic kids have issues with their guts, and they're on gluten-free diets and things like this. They also have a severe problem with sulfur, and Anthony mentioned the methionine depletion. Methionine is an essential sulfur-containing amino acid that supplies our body with sulfur. Our bodies use sulfate throughout the body for extremely essential purposes. There's huge amounts of sulfate in the body. Sulfate is a sulfur with some oxygen model atoms added to it. Sulfate is incredibly important to our blood, for example, to make our blood work properly. And I had recognized from my studies that sulfate deficiency and disrupted gut bacteria were two key features of autism. And I was looking for a environmental factor that might cause either one or both of these two things, and that might be increasing in the environment in recent years. I was looking for that because that would then completely explain the autism epidemic. And I hit gold when I started looking at glyphosate, because it can perfectly explain both of these problems. And it's increased significantly in our environment, directly in step with the increase in the autism rate.
So what was it that caused you to look at glyphosate? I mean, we heard Anthony's great story. What?
Right. What? Well, I do have a story.
Right.
Quite as dramatic as Anthony's. I attended a conference, and Professor Don Huber spoke for 2 hours at this conference. He is a retired professor from Purdue. He's an expert on plant physiology and plant pathology. And since he's retired, and perhaps even before he retired, he has been going tirelessly around the world speaking on the dangers of glyphosate. So he has a tremendous amount of material in his talk. And when I heard his talk, I was on the edge of my seat because I saw, finally, the solution to what could be causing the autism epidemic. And I was running out of ideas at that point because I had looked at a lot of things, and they all seemed like they could be part of the problem, but none of them seemed like the main problem. And I think glyphosate, I mean, I can't be certain that I'm right, but it really looks to me like glyphosate could be the main problem that's causing the autism epidemic.
That's actually what happened. That's how Stephanie and I came together. We were comparing notes back in October. I had just sent a letter that summer through my state senator, Gene Shaheen, in New Hampshire, to the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the Environmental Protection Agency about the disturbing discoveries that I made. And I cited autism, gut dysbiosis, and a host of other diseases as being directly related to glyphosate exposure. And when Stephanie and I talked, the light went off on Marble Head, and Stephanie and I came to the realization that we needed to tell this story together, and that's why we're here today.
Mm-hmm. Now, you didn't, like, take, you know, a bunch of glyphosate and put it in test tubes and pour it on things. You actually did a meta-study of the available research, right?
That's right. That's absolutely right.
Well, yes, that's right. However,
Not counting your bottles of urine.
Right. Okay.
That's our experimental evidence.
I need to give credit to an editor of a book, a Springer publication. I have to give credit to Volker F. Wendisch. He's the editor of Amino Acid Biosynthesis, Pathways Regulation, and Metabolic Engineering. It was after reading all the monographs that are collected in that book that I came to the realization that glyphosate was responsible for the disruption of the aromatic amino acids, and that there were great implications here in our biology, in our health. And that's when I started putting connections together and compiling a tremendous amount of data, which I shared with Stephanie.
Right.
And I need to give credit where credit is due. Volker F. Wendisch is, as far as I'm concerned, a hero for writing this book on amino acid biosynthesis.
Now, you two, of course, you put out this study in Entropy magazine, which has been roundly criticized already by everybody from the industry, who suggests that what does a computer scientist and a retired scientist know about glyphosate? They don't know anything. So,
well, I'm a chemist.
A chemist, okay.
And I have a degree in biology, which
gives. And essentially, again, you looked at the available research. So this is,
yes.
You're not really working with research that you did yourself. All you're doing is saying, my goodness, this could be a case, and then let's look and see if there is evidence to support that case.
The research that we did is to synthesize a story for hypothesizing what could happen in the human body, given all the evidence that we saw from all the papers that we read on other, mostly on glyphosate's effects on other species, on plants, on microbes, on animals, and then inferring from that what it would do to us.
Right.
Logically.
And has anybody offered up any reason why this could not be the case?
Money. The industry, when our paper came out, Monsanto, the day that the paper came out and attacked us. Came out and attacked us personally and hired industry trolls to write articles to attack our credibility. They branded our research paper as not peer reviewed, which was a lie. It is peer reviewed science.
Very strongly peer reviewed. We got
very strongly
and put a lot of effort in two rounds of review.
Well, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to look at the diseases, some of the diseases. You say that glyphosate is now a pathway to modern times diseases. So let's talk, let's follow that path and see where it takes us. On the Food Chain, right back. Do stay tuned. Well, is it safe to eat? I think we've lost Anthony. Maybe Engineer Dave can go get him again. Is glyphosate safe to eat? That's the question on the table today. Of course, the industry that manufactures genetically engineered seeds and the herbicide glyphosate say, of course, it's safe. And our agriculture uses up to 200 million pounds of it every year to grow our food. Without weeds. And thus it's a very easy thing for farmers to say this is good stuff because it really has improved their lives. Think of it, folks. One farmer can now grow 1,000 acres of crops with no weeds, no pests. Well, life is good. And if you're manufacturing the stuff, you're getting really rich doing it. But what about people, the consumers of the food? We seem to be left with eating food that has been drenched in herbicides and infused with pesticides. And so Stephanie Seneff, you're a computer scientist from MIT, and you picked up this subject along with Anthony Semcel, and you looked at it, and you're coming to the conclusion that maybe not so safe, right?
I certainly am. In fact, my husband and I have now chosen to go completely organic. We don't buy anything. Unless it's organic, essentially. We try very hard to do that. Of course, it's a little bit hard because you can't always get what you even find an organic choice.
And so, Anthony, you're not eating so many corn chips or out of the grocery store anymore, huh?
I eliminated corn from my diet. I've eliminated everything that's not organic. And I joined Mitt Romney and his family in eating organic. As you know, or maybe you don't, Mitt Romney was responsible for Monsanto's success. However, Mitt and his family eat an organic diet, as many people in industry also do. I just wanted to finish up on my comment about the CEO, Hugh Grant of Monsanto. I have some stock advice for him. What we have discovered is science. It is irrefutable, and there are other scientists that we're working with around the globe that have new research that has just come to the fore. My suggestion is that he sell his stock and invest in another enterprise because our science is irrefutable. I'm about to go into the lab in the next couple of weeks to take images with a scanning electron microscope that shows how glyphosate affects our red blood cells and leukocytes. That was just done with T. bacteria down in Brazil, and I'm in touch with the author of that study. So there is irrefutable evidence.
Mm-hmm. But they seem to be doing a pretty good job of refuting it, in spite of the fact that it's irrefutable.
It's because of the U.S. State Department. The U.S. State Department is promoting glyphosate and Monsanto's products internationally. However,
let's go back to the story you were talking about earlier with respect to the urine in European people turning up with glyphosate.
Yep.
And the fact that they are not using Roundup Ready crops and thus not using glyphosate to the extent, certainly, that we are here in the United States. And yet it's showing up in the people, in the urine of people in
it's
Europe.
It's coming in through the milk, meat, poultry, eggs, and cheese, through the residues that they're consuming. All of their farm animals are being fed corn and soy that is being shipped to that country from Argentina and the U.S. So those residues are circulating, and that's where they're getting their dose of glyphosate. Glyphosate is a stealth chemical. It doesn't kill overnight, but it only takes molecules to begin the damage.
Mm-hmm. You talk about it as being the pathway to the modern times diseases, and you list them. It's like, you know, the it's like everything that we're going through: gastrointestinal disorders, obesity, diabetes, heart disease, depression, autism, infertility, cancer, and Alzheimer's disease. My goodness, it's just like, it's like what's in the cemetery, I guess.
It's because glyphosate disrupts the cyclical amino acids of the bacteria. And once you start disrupting these cyclical amino acids and the amino acid methionine, there's a cascade of events. There are multiple pathways. It's like with tryptophan. If you don't have enough tryptophan, if you don't have bacteria making tryptophan, you become deficient in tryptophan, and as a result, you don't have the tryptophan that's necessary to make serotonin, which is also necessary to make melatonin. And now there are a cascade of diseases that are associated with tryptophan deficiency. And on the other hand, tyrosine, there are diseases associated with tyrosine and phenylalanine and methionine, including vitamin D deficiency. And our latest paper that Stephanie and I are working on, we show that glyphosate actually disrupts the B vitamins, which are so essential to our biology, including B12. And if you are deficient in B12, you've got some serious, serious health problems coming down the pike once you deplete your stores of B12.
In fact, you could have dementia that looks like Alzheimer's, but it's just B12 deficiency.
Well, I'm going to pick that up when we get back. Folks, this is the Food Chain Radio program. Today we're talking food and glyphosate and the relation between the two with Anthony Samsel, retired scientist and noted inventor. Also, Stephanie Seneff, senior research scientist, MIT Computer Science and Artificial Intelligence Lab. Right back. And with you, I'm going to pick you up, 831-479-1080. Well, there's so much to talk about, and I've been doing all of the talking because I've been finding this to be really fascinating and trying to come to grips with understanding it myself. And so now we're going to go to the phones and see what you think, 831-479-1080 or 800-624-2665. Richard, welcome to the Food Chain.
Yeah, hi. Pharmacist Ben says the immune system and the digestive system go hand in hand. And so that's the most important part of our body, and just getting proper nutrition. If the globalists are trying to kill the weeds, we are the weeds. There are 7 billion of us, and they want us gone. That's
well, there you go.
I like that attitude, actually.
Thank you very much for that
one. I
want
us gone, too, because we're causing so much trouble.
You know, I suspect you, if you think about what you two are going up against, and I have no way of knowing, you know, the veracity of your thesis here. I have no way of knowing, so I just keep asking questions. But I suspect that there are a lot of people who are looking with a great amount of disfavor on what you're saying, because this glyphosate has become the foundation of an industrial agriculture, and people really rely on that.
Hugh Grant came out and bashed us and said that our study was bad science. And if that's the best he's got, I'm saying, come on, come again. Let's sit down and let us show you. But Monsanto is not interested because their product, glyphosate, and their technology is fatally flawed. Without glyphosate, the entire biotech industry of industrial agriculture collapses. This could
collapse, but it certainly undergo some major changes.
Why do you think the State Department is involved in promoting Monsanto's wares internationally? This is like the electronics industry was back in the 60s and 70s. This is the last stronghold of the USA, is biotechnology. And if they don't have glyphosate and these herbicidal genes in these plants, then they have no technology. It will tank the U.S. economy. And
wow.
That's what they're worried about. And that's why they're using the State Department to strong-arm countries all around the world to buy Monsanto seeds and the chemical herbicide system. It's a fatally flawed technology. And it's disruptive of human health. This stuff is in our food. And
wow.
To take soybeans as an example, 90% of the soy in this country is contaminated with glyphosate, with levels up to 20 parts per million, levels that can cause harm to our biology. It's time for the world to wake up. They need to disassociate themselves from this technology, this chemical-based technology.
Wow. And the good news is?
I think we have to find a way to go back to the kind of agriculture we used to have. I just think we have to do that. And maybe it's going to be everybody has their own little garden where they grow their own food.
Yeah.
I mean, we may have to go through a phase like that because if people stop buying this food, then they're going to have to change the food that they sell.
Anthony Samsel and Stephanie Seneff, we're out of time. Let us thank you both so much for joining us. It's been a very fascinating show. What do you think out there? Is glyphosate safe to eat? Log on to MetroFarm.com and let us all know. Thank you all. And remember, cheap food isn't.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.